The Church Media Podcast, episode number 85, the most effective way to schedule your volunteers. Let's do it.
Hey there. Welcome to the Church Media Podcast.
The definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media productions in the church.
We're bringing you knowledge and insight from top media professionals from around the world. Useful, practical content in the areas of live production, design, leadership, digital communications, and more.
Show notes for this episode and all archive episodes of the show are available online now. At 1230media.com/podcast.
And now, broadcasting from the ministry headquarters of 1230 Media, here's your host, Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
Welcome to episode number 85 of the Church Media Podcast. I'm Carl Barnhill. Thank you so much for listening this week. This is the definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media production teams at your church. Before we get rolling this week, I wanted to give one more plug for the new PureFlix film, The Case for Christ. It opened in theaters nationwide last Friday. It's a great movie based on the conversion experience of Lee Strobel. Lee was the legal editor at the Chicago Tribune, where he went on a quest to disprove the existence of God, only to be surprised by what he found. I've seen the film. It's excellent. Check it out today. You can hear my exclusive interview with Lee Strobel and get free resources to promote the movie to your team at 1230media.com/Case for Christ. All right, this week I'm going to share with you the most effective way I've found to schedule your volunteers. I'll be opening up my playbook and giving you ideas for how to provide an easy-to-understand scheduling rotation for those you lead. Pretty quick episode this week, but I pray it's very practical as you lead your team. That's coming right up after my friend Jonathan Malm shares his new site for church creatives in this week's Church Media Resource of the Week. Check this out.
And now, your Church Media Resource of the Week.
Software, websites, gadgets, and tools that will resource your creativity and your ministry.
Hey guys, Jonathan Malm here from ChurchStageDesignIdeas.com. Today I wanted to share with you a new resource that's available for church creatives. It's called SundaySocial.tv. Basically, Sunday Social creates new social media graphics every day of the week for your church to post on your social media streams. That's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. These graphics are filled with quotes, encouraging thoughts, questions, basically things that are going to up the engagement that your church experiences on social media. You'll get more likes, more comments, more shares, more retweets, all that good stuff. It's $7 a month. It gets you unlimited downloads each month, and there are new graphics at least every day. It's a great resource. I highly recommend you check it out. Sign up. It's worth it.
For more free resources for your team, visit 1230media.com/training.
Welcome back. I'm sharing with you this week my strategy for scheduling your volunteer team. Scheduling volunteers can take a ton of your work week. Wouldn't it be great to free up the time you spend scheduling volunteers and spend that time on things that only you can do? One of the keys to a dynamic production team is scheduling your volunteers in such a way that there is a clear expectation of who is serving when. Planning is key. A fly-by-your-seat, chasing-down-people to serve every week type of approach is a recipe for confusion and burnout, both for you and your volunteers. So I'm going to give you four steps to providing an easy-to-understand rotation schedule for your volunteer team. And I'll put all this in the show notes for you, but we're going to walk through these step-by-step here. Number one, have a clear on-ramp for volunteers to get on your team. I've talked about this a lot before. You can have the best system in the world, but if you don't have a steady flow of new volunteers coming into your team to keep things fresh and moving, it won't matter. My on-ramp, and I've covered this again in more detail in previous podcast episodes and blog posts, is this four-step process. Ownership class, or you might call it church membership class, opportunities tour, production first look, and basics training was our training process. So ownership class, opportunities tour, production first look, and basics training. that was our clear on-ramp to get volunteers on our team. So it was very clear how a new person, someone that was interested in our team, it was very clear how they went from this step to this step to this step to get fully involved in our team. My wife and I have been visiting a new church, and that's one of the struggles that we've been having as we visit around to churches, and the church that we're visiting right now is, okay, I'm wanting to get more involved. How do I do that? Who do I speak to? What's my next step? Who do I need to ask to know what's going on? If that stuff was clearly laid out almost every Sunday, hey, if you're visiting with us and you want to get more involved, here's your next step. If that was clear, that would be very helpful. So take that advice for your own production team and know that the more you can be proactive in giving people their next step and make that very clear to someone, especially a new person or visitor, the more success that you're going to have. Okay, number two is use a team approach. And this is the main thing that I want to get at this week is this really changed the game in how I scheduled volunteers, okay? So at the two churches that I've served in a media leadership role, we moved our production volunteers to a team approach. What do I mean by this? I want you to list out the set of services that you have. So for example, you might have Saturday night services, Sunday a.m. services, Sunday p.m. services, a midweek service, whatever you have, I want you to list those out and all the times that you have those services. Now I want you to list out the serving opportunities or volunteer positions that you have or that you need. Here's what I mean by that. At New Springs Columbia campus, which is where I served, we had an a.m. run-through and two a.m. services, and then we had a p.m. run-through and two p.m. services. It took 10 video volunteers to execute these services. I served mainly with the video team. I helped with audio and lighting a little bit, but my main leadership capacity or role was to lead the video volunteers. So it took 10 video volunteers to execute a service. A video producer, director, technical director or switcher, broadcast operator. We were a satellite campus, a teleprompt operator, a pro presenter or lyric video graphics operator, and then three camera operators. So it took 10 video volunteers. We also had audio, lighting operators, stagehands, service producers. So it took a number of people, 15 to 20 people, to execute a service. Now have your team serve for a run-through and a set of services. Don't have a new set of volunteers for every service. That is key. Have the same group of people run the run-through and run the next set of services. And then when they come back for the evening, either have the same crew that was there the morning do it, or have a new crew do a run-through and do another set of services. Here's what I'm getting at. Your volunteers, your set of volunteers, need to have a run-through before they walk in to service. Why would you not practice before the game? It's crucial. Oh, well, I'm a camera operator. I know what I'm doing. Yeah, but you don't know this service and this service's flow. And you're going to miss something because you weren't at run-through. So I don't want to be mean to volunteers, but this is how I structured it. You come to a run-through, and then you stay for the set of services. And if that's the expectation from the get-go, then people don't mind that if they know the expectation. So if you needed 10 volunteers to run a set of services, and you had two sets of services on a Sunday, you need two teams of 10 to run a Sunday. You need 10 people to do the morning, 10 people to do the evening. So that would be 20 people in one day. So times four, you're going to need a whole lot of volunteers. So I found the sweet spot in rotating volunteers is to schedule them to serve once every 3 weeks. That's the sweet spot. You'll have some people that want to serve every Sunday. Nope, not going to happen. Why not? Well, because we need to give other people opportunities to serve, one. Two, you need to be worshiping with your family Those are really the only two reasons that I need. I mean, like, we need to provide as many serving opportunities as possible on our team. And you can't be in here every Sunday. You need to grow spiritually and be involved in corporate worship as well. So I found the sweet spot in rotating volunteers is once every 3 weeks. This gives other people opportunities to serve, and it doesn't allow over a month before someone serves at a new position. If it's over a month, people start forgetting stuff. So once every 3 weeks is about the sweet spot. Okay, I would also suggest implementing a rule where a volunteer can't serve every Sunday. Like I said, if you don't have enough people where you can't do Sunday without someone, I would strongly encourage you to invite and recruit more volunteers into your team. Well, we have the same group every Sunday. Uncle George or Deacon Bob runs the audio every Sunday, and that's what he does. Okay, well, what if something happens to him? What if he can't make it one Sunday? He's got to have a vacation at some point. You need to constantly be growing up new volunteers. And if you go ahead and set the expectation that we're going to do a team approach, we're going to serve once every 3 weeks, that's how we're going to do it, then, you know, most of the time, people will accept that that's the expectation. Secondly, you must provide and encourage volunteers to worship with their families, as I was saying. So I've had this happen. People want to be there every single time the control room is open. I would actually, this has been a source of contention when I've led teams. I've had to actually make people leave. I'm sorry, you're not serving today. You need to be with your family. Now, of course, you're going to have people come and say hey and hang out. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that use serving in the control room as an excuse to not be in corporate worship. And so I did not allow that, or did not allow them to serve every week. Okay, so at New Spring, we built 6 teams of 12 people on each team for Sundays, and 3 teams of 12 for our midweek student service. Get that. 6 teams of 12 people on each team. That was our goal, and we met it. So if you know that's your goal, if you go ahead and set it, now you might be thinking, oh my goodness, how in the world are we getting that many volunteers? Well, your services might not need 10 or 15 people to run a service. Maybe you only need 3 or 4. So, you know, consider things like that. Also, too, pray about it. Set a goal. Have a big vision. It's cool. All right, and we had 3 teams of 12 that served for our midweek service. They would serve once every 3 weeks. Okay, number 3 in my list of 4 things here. Number 1, have a clear on-ramp for volunteers. Number 2, use a team approach. Number 3, use clear team schedules. Once you have your volunteer teams established, putting them into a simple rotation is easy. Just alternate when the teams serve. I would suggest switching the rotation each month so that one team isn't serving every AM or every PM. So every month, kind of alternate those teams where the same team isn't serving they're not serving on a morning every time they serve, or an evening every time they're served. You're kind of switching that up some. Now, are you going to have people that say, I only can serve in the morning? I would only make rare exceptions for that. My general rule was we've put our schedule together the way it's scheduled, and if you can't serve on a evening team, then maybe there's another place in our ministry or another place on our team that might be a better fit for you, because we need to be able to be flexible and kind of rotate those teams when we need them to rotate. And so for you to kind of put a lock on that is not fair for the whole team. So maybe there's a different place for you to serve. Now, obviously, you want to work with people's jobs and things like that. But if you can kind of set some boundaries and some rules, then for the most part, people will follow them. All right. So number 4 on our list is this: counter opposition with vision. You are always going to have opposition to any approach or any system that you put in place. It's happened everywhere I've served multiple times. You should definitely listen and gain honest feedback from your volunteers and genuinely respect their ideas. However, God has placed you in charge of stewarding the ministry. If He gives you ideas and you feel strongly about your vision, run with it and stick to your guns. Always counter opposition, any opposition that you get, by casting vision. Give them the why, inspire them, motivate them as to what's possible. Hey, I would get this team approach will never work. It's never going to work. You're never going to get that. Okay, watch me. Let's see what God can do. If I really feel strongly that this is the vision that God has placed on me, let's see if it can happen. Let's give it a chance. Let's give it 6 months, a year. See what happens. Let's see if we can get there. And if it doesn't happen in 6 months, a year, then maybe we can try something else. In my experience also, pushback usually comes from the people that you least expect, kind of your right-hand person or your all-star volunteer. Sometimes it's either the devil or pride or whatever kind of gets in the way, and it's kind of comes from the people that you least expect. This has happened to me a couple of times. Kind of all-star volunteers will come up and have a disagreement with the vision I feel like God is laying on my heart, and that's been interesting. It's kind of taken me aback. Like, whoa, why did it? I wasn't expecting this from this person. Let me give you two quick stories about this. When I came to Pine Lake Church as their video production director, each service had a new set of volunteers. So every service, there was a retraining of the flow and elements of the service. It was not excellent, to say the least. Now, God laid it on my heart to change that approach and have one team serve all three morning services. I had a sweet lady volunteer who'd been serving in production for years tell me that my new approach would not work, that it would never happen, and that all the volunteers would leave. That's what she told me. Well, some did. Even she backed off of serving for a little while. It was very interesting. I stuck to my guns. This was the vision that God gave me. This is what we're going to do. This is how the best way I know to make our services more excellent is to have the same team serve the entire morning, do a run through, and do the set of services, not do a new set of volunteers every single service. And it was very interesting to watch her leave for a little while and then gradually come back and get more involved in serving in production when the team started growing, when the services were more excellent, they were being executed well, better than before, and when there was more of a team spirit in the culture. My approach worked. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I don't have bad ideas. I've done a bunch of stuff that's just bombed, and we've had to rethink some stuff. But in this example, she left for a little bit, but once she started seeing, hey, that's working. The services are really being executed in a more excellent way, she started coming back, and she was an all-star volunteer again. Now, it's crucial, too, for me to not say, see, I told you so, but just continue to respect, welcome with open arms, and just move forward from there. So my second story is this. When I came to New Spring Church, there was not really a clear rotation schedule for volunteers. We used Planning Center Online, but didn't really have a good base to know how often someone actually served, and if we were forgetting people. When I held our first vision event, when I came on staff and announced that we were moving to a team approach, people were optimistic, but skeptical. One of the core volunteers, who actually did most of my job before I came on staff, came and told me later that he thought that it was a stupid idea. But after a few weeks of working it and changing the way that we schedule people, he loved it, and he wouldn't have had it any other way. So he was skeptical at first, and I didn't find this out until months, even maybe a year or so later, that he came to me and said, yeah, when you started moving to that approach, I thought it was stupid. I thought it would never work. But now, You know, I'm helping you schedule, and I wouldn't have it any other way. It's the easiest way to rotate the teams. By the way, I do want to mention something I might have forgotten to say, and that is this. When you put people on a team, have the same teams for about 3 months or so, maybe a quarter of the year, and then move the teams around. Put different people on different teams. But if you keep the same team for about 3 or 4 months, then more community will happen. People will get to know each other in a more deep way. They're serving together. Every time they serve, they get to know each other. And then about 3 or 4 months of them serving together, then kind of switch up the teams. So I might not have mentioned that earlier. Okay, so here's a recap. Here's your four takeaways. Number one, have a clear on-ramp for volunteers to get on your team. Number two, use a team approach. Number three, use clear team schedules. Number four, counter opposition with vision. That's the best way that I've found to schedule your volunteers effectively. When I come back, I'm going to give you six more quick-fire ideas for scheduling your volunteers. I'm coming right back.
I've spent my entire career as a journalist, uncovering the truth. Until the day my wife presented me with the biggest story of my life. The case for Christ. From that moment on, I set out to prove to her and to the rest of the world that they were wrong. And what happened next changed me. Forever.
The Case for Christ, now in theaters.
Welcome back. Okay, now that you have your strategy for scheduling your volunteers down, here are some quick fire tips to get the most out of your strategy. Number one, enlist volunteers to help you schedule. You can still oversee and monitor this process, but building a team of people that can help send out emails and help with the follow-up and confirmations is invaluable. Choose people that are veterans on your team, people that know who is best on what position, and spend one-on-one time training this team in what you are wanting to see. Enlist volunteers to help you schedule. Number two, post your schedule everywhere. Always lean toward over-communicating everything. We suggest that you build a schedule 2 to 3 months in advance and post this schedule everywhere you can. Post a copy in your production room, give printed copies to all your volunteers, post it on your social media accounts and anywhere else that you can think of. Post your schedule everywhere. Don't assume that people know. Number three, clearly communicate your scheduling system to all of your volunteers. Making it absolutely clear what your system of scheduling is eliminates confusion and keeps everyone on the same page. You can use tools like Planning Center Online to help you schedule your volunteers, but what I found is that these tools are best used as reminders each week, not as your primary scheduling tool. I know that's different than a lot of you use. A lot of you guys use Planning Center as your primary scheduling tool. I used a little bit of a different approach. I'd used good old-fashioned spreadsheets and teams that rotate. And I used Planning Center as reminders each week. Now, why did I do that? Because I wanted to make sure that people had a printed copy and it was very, very clear when they were scheduled to serve so they could check it with their personal calendar and make sure that they knew when to serve. Also, I didn't want it to get lost in cyberspace and kind of people forget or I just used it. I just found that it was better as a reminder. Also, if I got a decline on Planning Center, that's not cool because I've given you a schedule 2 to 3 months in advance. So if we come week of and I've sent you a Planning Center invite, all it is a reminder. Hey, remember you're on and here's the flow of the service. Here's the songs to listen to, that sort of thing. If I got a decline in Planning Center, I'm making a phone call. Buddy, why did you decline? It must be something. It must be an emergency. Are you okay? So I wanted to find out why. So that's just my approach. You can you know, if you want to use Planning Center as your main tool, that's cool. Whatever works for you. But I used a different approach. I used Planning Center as a reminder. If it's your primary tool, think about sending scheduling emails out a month or two in advance and then set reminder emails the week of your event. So you can kind of do the same thing that I'm doing by using Planning Center if you want to. So basically what I'm after is I want people to know 2 or 3 months in advance when they're scheduled to serve, and then I want a reminder about a week of, maybe 2 weeks, something like that. A reminder, hey, you're on next week. Remember that, that sort of thing. All right, number four. Have a cutoff day and time to have everyone confirmed to serve on Sunday. You do not need to be worried about scheduling your volunteers after you leave for the week. Nothing's worse than that. Getting a decline on a Friday on your day off or Saturday and have to you spend a couple hours scrambling around to find a replacement, that's the worst. So no matter what tools you use, make sure everyone is confirmed to serve and knows their call time by the time that you leave the office on Thursday or whenever you leave for the week. In my experience, I've posted schedules in our production room 2 months out, 2 to 3 months out, like I told you, and I use Planning Center as a reminder each week. And we sent Planning Center emails every Monday for the upcoming Sunday. If there were still holes by Wednesday, we started making phone calls or send out texts to confirm everyone. By Thursday morning, we would make any last-minute replacements or fill the rest of the holes, and everything must be confirmed by the end of the day on Thursday. That was our rule. End of day Thursday, we're walking out of here, everybody's confirmed and ready to go, so that I can enjoy my weekend. You're already on call most of the time anyway, so as much as you can do to prevent having to work on the weekend, on Friday and Saturday, or whenever your day is off, the better. Okay, number five. Schedule a couple of additional people to use as floaters or utility players to fill in the gaps in scheduling. We always had a couple of extra people every event, every week, every service. This allows us to fill in the gaps. If anyone calls in sick or for any emergency reason, we usually find that there's always a need that comes up. Moving a piano off stage, fixing a camera in the heat of the moment, stuff like that. There's always something that comes up. So always schedule at least one extra person on Sunday. Worst case scenario, they cross train on another position. It's not going to be time lost. It's going to be time that they can hang out, have community with other volunteers, learn a new position, help out in certain areas. It's not a loss. Schedule an additional person or a couple of people. This also allows for you to cross-train, like I said, if a utility player is around, not on gear. Team them up with a veteran to start learning a new position. Always schedule at least one or two floaters or utility players at every event that you have. Number six, remind your team of your system. Don't think if you tell your team your system once, they get it. You have to consistently remind and train people on your process of scheduling. Talk about it once a month before a service. Post it on your social media accounts. Email it out. Don't assume that people know. Remind them of your process. Here's how we do it, guys. We have teams set up and they rotate every 3 weeks and it's posted here and here and here. If you have any questions, come and find us. If you need a decline or if you need to, if you can't make it one Sunday, here's who you contact, that sort of thing. That stuff needs to be clear and repeated over and over and over. Don't assume that people know. It's a good rule of thumb to consistently communicate information that you take for granted. It's likely that someone either doesn't fully understand your system or they've forgotten pieces of it. And you may also forget that new people have come into your team since you've explained something. So you need your volunteers to understand your system so well that they can easily communicate it without you around. Meaning this, if your veterans hear it over and over and over, that's okay. They need to. Because if a new person comes in, then you don't have to repeat it a million times. They can explain it for you. These tips have been useful in the ministries and churches that I've served and that we've partnered with at 1230, and I hope that these strategies and ideas will be useful to you as you schedule your volunteers for your experiences. I've included several free templates on the show notes page for this episode, free team lists, rotation schedules, and more. Just go on there, download them for free, and you can implement them, you can change them around, and adapt them for your team. Be sure to check that out at 1230media.com/085. Is in episode number 85.
On the next Church Media Podcast.
Next week, I welcome Carl Carty to the show. Carl is a powerhouse writer and producer. He's co-written and produced songs for some of the biggest names in Christian music. He now spends his time training and coaching worship leaders and creatives. We'll spend 2 weeks with Carl talking about how to pastor your people well. Two times the Carl next week on the show. Our podcast producer is David Michael Hyde. He's a genius. DavidMichaelHyde.com is where he writes and produces award-winning scores and soundtracks. Be sure to check him out today. It's a privilege hanging out with you guys. Go out there and create some incredible experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Church Media Podcast.
Please take a minute today to rate and review the show in iTunes.
Catch you right here next week for another episode of the Church Media Podcast.